Today is Christ the King Sunday. Our reading from the Holy Word of God is from Isaiah chapter 51, verses 4 through 6, Psalm 93, Revelation chapter 1, verses 4 through 8, and the Gospel according to Mark chapter 13, verses 24 through 37. The message is titled, "But My Salvation Will Last Forever." Prophet Isaiah chapter 51 writes the word of the Lord, beginning at verse 4. "Listen to me, my people. Hear me, my nation. The law will go out from me. My justice will become a light to the nations. My righteousness draws near speedily. My salvation is on the way. And my arm will bring justice to the nations. The islands will look to me and wait in hope for my arm. Lift up your eyes to the heavens. Look at the earth beneath. The heavens will vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment, and its inhabitants die like flies. But my salvation will last forever. My righteousness will never fail." Here ends our reading from the prophet Isaiah. Psalm 93. The Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed in majesty and is armed with strength. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. Your throne was established long ago. You are from all eternity. The seas have lifted up, O Lord. The seas have lifted up their voice. The seas have lifted up their pounding waves. Mightier than the thunder of the great waters, mightier than the breakers of the sea, the Lord on high is mighty. Your statutes stand firm. Holiness adorns your house for endless days, O Lord. Here ends Psalm 93. Revelation chapter 1, beginning of verse 4. John, to the seven churches in the province of Asia, grace and peace to you from Him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before His throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To Him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by His blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve His God and Father, to Him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Look! He is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see Him, even those who pierced Him. And all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of Him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Here ends the reading from Revelation. Mark chapter 13, beginning verse 24. But in those days, following that distress, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies be shaken. At that time, men will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And He will send His angels and gather His elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that it is near. Right at the door. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard. Be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with his assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or at dawn. And if he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. Here ends our reading from Mark chapter 13. Grace and mercy be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. O God of unchangeable power and eternal light, look favorably on your whole church, which is a wonderful and sacred mystery. In your eternal foreknowledge, you peaceably do your saving work for humanity. Let the whole world know that things that were cast down are being raised up, and the things that had grown old are being made new, and all things are being restored by Him in whom they have their beginning, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. That prayer comes from the Gelesium Sacramentary. Have you ever thought about time? That is, what we have as a sense of time compared to previous generations having a sense of time. Summer of 91, Luther Memorial Camp, I had the privilege of being out at Homestead. Homestead, a very special place. Three cabins were out there, one for boys, one for girls, and the center cabin stored all the gear. And that's where I had the privilege to sleep that summer. No electricity, no running water. Water was a hand pump in the middle of the field. And the facilities, an outhouse. One side for boys, the other side for girls, an outhouse. The kids would arrive at camp and store their gear in the back of the pickup truck. It was a fascinating truck, a Dodge Power Wagon, four-wheel drive, with those tall, narrow tires. It could take it just about anywhere in camp you wanted to go. The bed had been replaced with an army trailer bed, so it could hold a lot of camping gear. The truck would drive the gear out to the camp as the campers hiked through the woods to reach Homestead. Oh, the fond memories of that place. Once out at Homestead, if any of the kids had watches, we gathered the watches. You don't need to know the time. When you're at Homestead, you just don't need the time. And if you ever asked what time it was, the answer would be about 8. In the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening, middle of the night. What time is it? About 8. Being at Homestead and cooking on a campfire, our meals, it gave a different sense of time completely. Get up, start the fire, because you need coals to cook, and that takes a while to get the coals, so our meals were cooked over the fire with the coals, sometimes with skillets, sometimes with pots, sometimes with pans, and Dutch ovens too. I mean, placing a few coals on top of the cover of the Dutch oven, a few underneath so you could bake biscuits. I mean, I remember one time, it was a junior week, that means a third grade through fifth grade, and I don't remember the young man was a third grader or fourth grader, but he was really on the young side, and he and I were sitting there next to each other on the picnic table making biscuits. Well, we cheated a little bit. We started with biscuit mix. We didn't start completely from scratch. But to mix it all together, to get the pans ready, get the coals for the Dutch ovens going, I mean, all of those things. And once all was ready to feed the hungry children, I think we had about 25 there out at that week. And immediately you need to fill the pots. As soon as you pull the food off to eat, fill the pots with the water that you need from the hand pump well. Because you need to heat the water up while you're eating to wash the dishes when you're done eating. From start to finish, a couple hours could easily pass. Yes, a couple hours, 2 hours, 3 hours, sometimes 4 hours from start to finish. And that time was passed in conversation and relationships around that. Setting up, preparing, eating, cleaning up. I really can appreciate the wonderful gift the Amish have as they ride in their horses pulled by, ride in their buggies pulled by horses, sharing that slow time together in conversation and relationship. What we do in 10 minutes may take 45 for them. What have we lost in that 35 minutes of not talking with each other? I mean, we've gotten so used to, I don't know about you, but for me, hot dogs roasted over a fire taste so much better than nuked in the microwave. But sometimes the time to cook, set up the coals and all that, in Germany, Cologne, there's a cathedral. It was began in 1248. Construction progressed for the next 200 years. Then in the 1500s, the financial problems slowed the construction and enthusiasm waned a little bit for the Gothic aesthetic. But then with the Gothic revival in the 1800s, the original design was faithfully followed and finally finished in 1880. The soaring spires became the tallest structure in the world at that time at 515 feet. 632 years to build. St. Victor's Cathedral in Prague took 585 years to build. The Milan Cathedral took 579 years to build. And the Milan Cathedral, with its 135 spires and over 3,300 statues, and the Milan Cathedral has extensive documentation listing in order the architects, the engineers, as it changed through the century after century. Yes! 579 years to build. 1962, President Kennedy, in the middle of his speech, declares, "We choose to go to the moon, that is, land a man on the moon and bring him back safely to Earth before 1970, within the decade." And it happened. It came to be at 4:18 p.m., July 20th, 1969, with the crackling radio voice of Neil Armstrong saying, "The Eagle has landed." I remember, perhaps most of you too, remember that moment sitting and watching a little black and white TV? I was in Montgomery, Alabama. I remember that. 966, Solomon began the first temple. And no sound of construction was on site. The blocks were prepared off-site and brought to the temple area to be assembled. All the stonework was done at the quarry. That means dimensioning of the stones to fit with each other was done at the quarry. You can read about this, 1 Kings chapter 6, and learn more about in chapter 7 and 8 too. 400 years later, due to Israel's rebellion, the Babylonians destroyed that temple in 586 BC. 70 years later, the second temple was completed on the same site. However, it was nowhere near as grand as that first temple built under Solomon's direction. The book of Ezra will tell you about that as the second temple was built. Herod the Great expanded the temple and the temple mount too. The size of the stones. In the Western Wall Tunnel is a massive monolith, 45 feet long, 13 feet wide, weighing estimated 570 tons. And it was cut to shape and size at the quarry and moved to its place there. Later, they identified another stone that is even larger, 2.5 feet larger or so. And how did they move such large stones? Or what about the Great Pyramids? How did they move such large stones? Or what about those statues on Easter Island? How did they move such large statues? What about the great buildings of Athens or the buildings of ancient Rome? Or how about taking 5 to 6 weeks to fell a birch tree with an axe and then chisel out the trunk with only a hatchet? And that'd take a group of you to do it in 5 or 6 weeks with only a hatchet. That was very common along the Howe River in this area and up and down the streams. When you're not in a rush Time to take to do the task is the time to take to do the task. You can move a 570-ton stone any distance to desire. It takes the time to do the task, and the time to do the task, it's what time it takes. We've forgotten that. Mark 13 begins. As he was leaving the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what massive stones, what magnificent buildings." The Greek is actually, "Behold, behold what stones, what buildings." Idel means behold. And behold is meant to call attention to. Such was the sight of this massive structures and those sight and wonder of them. The disciple just had to exclaim, "Behold such massive." Hiking up Harney Peak in the Black Hills after that final set of switchbacks, you come to a set of metal stairs. That's painful on the legs, really, going up those stairs. Then there's more rock steps. After you've gone up the stairs, more rock steps. And you weave yourself in along the path until you walk into the old firehouse lookout that was built by the Civilian Conservation Corps all those years ago. And you go through the firehouse. And as two of my high school students from Tuscarawas County, Ohio, in our group, as they came walking out of the tower, they went, "Wow!" As the vista expanded before their eyes, on top of this big granite outcropping, you could see miles and miles and miles and miles and miles. On a good day, you can see as far as the Badlands, over 80 miles away. I mean, it's amazing. And the girls just went, "Wow!" That's what the behold is like. Behold! I mean, the disciple exclaiming, "Behold!" is like that, "Wow!" I mean, it just draws you in. Jesus answers, Mark 13, verse 2. "Do you see all these great buildings?" replied Jesus. "Not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down." Silence from the disciples as they descended out of Jerusalem across the Kidron Valley, heading east towards the Mount of Olives, also known as the Mount of Anointment, as the olive oil from the groves that were on the Mount of Olives were used to anoint Israel's kings and priests. Ascending up into the olive groves and then sitting down across from the Temple Mount. Do you have this in your mind? You come from the temple, you go down in the Kidron Valley, then you go back up on top of the Mount of Olives and sitting here looking across the Kidron Valley back to the temple. With that temple in their eyes, the disciples come, Peter, James, John, and Andrew too at this time. Privately, they come to Jesus and ask, "When will these things happen?" Jesus then begins his teaching, what you find there in Mark chapter 13, teaching on what is to come. What is to come. Summing up the descriptive images, Jesus speaks about tribulation will come. Still, the gospel must be preached to all nations. Tribulation will come. Preach the gospel. Be prepared. Be on watch. Be vigilant and steadfast in the uncertainties that will come. Be filled with hope and endure by the power of faith. For God's salvation, full of grace, is yours, even as the world goes mad. Learn the lesson of the fig tree, Jesus said. As it announces summer is near, the coming of the Son of Man is near, is close at hand. He's at the door. The image is he is at the door already to knock. That's what it means there. He's at the door already to knock. Yes, look to the clouds and see the great power on display as the glory goes forth before him. See the Son of Man riding on the clouds, and the chosen will be gathered up. Mark chapter 13, beginning verse 26. At that time, men will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. Elect It's a compound Greek word. Part of the word is ek. The Greek word part of it is ek, which means out from and to. Out from and to. It is outcome orientated. So why do you take it out? It's because you place it to. So it's outcome orientated, ek. Not only taken out, but it's taken to. The other half of the compound word is lego. Lego. Yes, lego. Not the building block made of plastic, which my family really enjoys building with. The Greek word lego means I say, I speak. I say and speak in a manner to lay down to sleep. That is laying an argument to rest. Laying it to rest. The speaking brings it to a closure, moving to a conclusion. So when you put the two together, the verb eklego, it means to choose, to select, to elect, is a highly deliberate choice with the definite part of it, definite choice. The way this word is used here, the outcome is the divine selection for salvation. You're taken out to divine salvation. And it was God's doing. God's doing. The speaking brings it to a conclusion. So God, you are mine. You are selected, elected for salvation. Mark 13, beginning at verse 28. Now learn the lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that it is near, right at the door. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. The word generation, it means the whole multitude of men living at the time. Whole multitude of men. However, the word generation is not used in the manner we use the word generation, as in a short period of time, like a generation is 20 years or so between one generation to the next. Rather, the way the word is used, it means the age of man. The age of men. The disciples of Jesus are in the generation. And we are in the very same generation, alive at this time, in this age. And this age will continue until all these things have happened, have been fulfilled, till the Son of Man comes, riding on the clouds. In fact, heaven and earth will pass away. Metaphorically meaning to pass away means to perish. Heaven and earth will perish. In contrast with that is that conjunction, but. It cuts off what was before. The Greek word order, but the words of me in no way will, not will pass away. That not negates and rules out all possibility of perishing. The words of Jesus, the Son of God, who is fully God, His words will not pass away. Heaven and earth perish, but His words will not perish. They will stand forever. Revelation from Jesus Christ given to John to write down. You find this in Revelation chapter 1. Grace and peace to you from Him who is, and who was, and who is to come. From Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To Him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by His blood. And goes on to say, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is, who was, who is to come, the Almighty. Timelessness. Can you really think of how timeless that is? Who is, who was, is to come? I mean, we have a hard enough time fathoming a cathedral taking over 600 years to build. We have a hard time conceiving in our minds, because we're used to microwave ovens, the slowness of the hours of preparing a meal on the frontier of Ohio just 225 years ago in a cabin in the woods such as the James Galway cabin down in Xenia. So we have to take, receive the written words as they are spoken. These words spoken will stand forever. These words will never perish, such that we are filled with hope. And dismay is dispersed by the faithfulness of the one who spoke the words of Scripture, who gave the parable of the owner going away to and giving his servants charge of the household with tasks to do. Since you don't know when the owner will return, keep watch. Watching like children at the window. My girls still do this when they're watching for their aunt to come to a visit. And when they were younger, oh boy, did they watch at the window for when grandma was coming and grandpa was coming, especially at their birthdays and Christmas. The eagerness, the excitement, the anticipation of what was to come. Keep watch. From the words the Lord gave to the prophet Isaiah recorded in chapter 51. For my righteousness draws near speedily. My salvation is on the way. Those actions will be fulfilled. For it is also written in Isaiah 51, the word of the Lord, the prophet writes, lift up your eyes to the heavens. Look at the earth beneath. The heavens will vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment, and its inhabitants die like flies. But my salvation will last forever. My righteousness will never fail. Sounds the same as Jesus speaking on the Mount of Olives, looking across at the temple. Heaven and earth will pass away. His words will never pass away. His words will never perish. But my salvation, that is the salvation from the Lord, will last forever. My righteousness will never fail. In Christ, that righteousness that will never fail through the finished work of the cross becomes our righteousness. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Might become is in the translation due to the nature of English. In the Greek, there is no ifiness present. No ifiness of might become. The Greek is definite. The Greek means to transition from one point, realm, or condition to another. You become. The righteousness of your strength and ability, which is soaked in sin, is removed by the living God. And the living Lord God fills you with the righteousness of Christ through the finished work of the cross. Where your sinfulness was is now the everlasting righteousness of God, giving you salvation that is forever. The finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross forever changed all things. The shedding of his blood, the impact reaches beyond time into the realm of eternity. The salvation that came through the finished work of Christ on the cross is so encompassing. The salvation, that finished work of Christ on the cross is so encompassing. Heaven and earth will pass away, the Lord declares. But my salvation will last forever. My righteousness will never fail. So lift up your eyes to the sky. Keep watch. Be filled with hope and joy, for Jesus is coming again. The trumpet will sound. The Christ in all His glory will come. And we who are the chosen of the Lord will be taken up to meet Him with that salvation lasting forever. Amen and amen.